are with us, you may be seated. Are we blessed? Amen. Time of worship, just a time of being in the presence of the Lord. Young people, you, I'm sure, have other things to do, so we'll dismiss you. Go have a good time. Learn some good things. I tell you what, why don't we just take a moment and greet one another? Just find somebody you haven't had a chance to say hi to yet. That person that's sitting next to you probably isn't that person. So those that you haven't had a chance to say hi to yet, just say hi, just briefly. All right. That's enough. That's enough friendliness here. Come on. All right. Let's get into this evening's message. I'll just begin with a quick question for you. How are you doing with your goals for 2020? You know, we are now into the second month of the year, right? We start, of course, every year, that first of the year, and we think about, okay, what are the things I need to accomplish this year? And we start doing, you know, messages about dreams and how to fulfill and prosper in this next year, all that God wants to have happen in your life. And then time goes on, and here we are already, it's February. A month has passed us by. We're in February, and it's easy to get lazy about spiritual things. I mean, I'm talking about myself personally, not necessarily just you. The problem is, it's not that I don't know what to do. I can just get lazy about doing it. And you're all hyped up at the beginning of the year, at the first of the year, and for the first few weeks. How are we doing now? How are we doing now? You know, it's not the great revelations that you've not heard that is causing you to be defeated in certain areas of your life. It's failing to live by the things that we already know. See, a lot of people think, if I just heard that one great message, and some people do hop around a lot, and they go to every conference, and they try and find another great, amazing speaker that's going to change their life. And typically, it is not that one great new revelation that's going to change everything. What will change everything is you actually doing what you already know to do. And I'm all for new great revelations, but if we aren't doing all the things that we know we're supposed to do, if we haven't already established some good patterns in our life, well, then that new great revelation isn't going to have any real impact on us anyway. It'll just be another search for another revelation. Amen? So I want us to consider how we're doing now. Are we still going strong? Let's take a look at a scripture in 1 Corinthians 9. I'll read verses 24 through 27. It says this: "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." See, we've all started this race for 2020. We've all begun to get our our house in order and we're trying to establish new things in our lives and focus on the dreams for a better tomorrow, you're in your race. You're not racing against me or anybody else in this room. It's just the race that we run. And Paul here is giving us some good advice. To live in victory, you have to stay spiritually strong. It requires some work on your part. To stay spiritually strong, you have to stay spiritually active. Do some exercising, some spiritual exercising to stay strong and be active. Ephesians 5:18, that's a familiar scripture to us. It talks about us not being drunk with wine, but it says we should be filled with the Spirit. I think that's a good idea. Let's be filled with the Spirit. But in that scripture where it says be filled with the Spirit, if we get into the actual tense of that Greek word, it means being filled and filled and filled, continually being filled. It's not just that one-time event. We should be filled with the Spirit. It's a moment-by-moment repeatable action. Again, a lot of action has to take place if it's going to make a change in our lives, if it's going to benefit us and those around us. So, I'm going to take a look at a bunch of scriptures. All of them, well, I shouldn't say all of them, most of them are coming from 2 Timothy, where Paul outlines some steps to keep us moving forward in overcoming power. I entitled this message, Honing Your Spiritual Edge. Anybody here ever sharpen a knife? You know, I mean, a lot of times they just get dull and you toss them away. But if you've got a nice knife, you want to keep it sharp. And it takes a little work sometimes to sharpen that edge. Well, for us, there is a what I'd like to consider a spiritual edge. Are you on the cutting edge? Are you sharp in your spiritual walk? If not, how do we improve that? How do we sharpen ourselves? So I'm going to give you a list of things. And these are, again, coming from 2 Timothy. In fact, let's start with 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. It says, "You, therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in grace is my first tip for you tonight, to hone your spiritual edge. You need to be strong in grace. In fact, Titus 2, 11 and 12 says this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." And what does this grace do? In the next verse, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." That might be a slightly new definition for you of God's grace and what it does. We think of God's grace as, you know, typically unmerited favor, God's blessing towards us, God's enablement for the things that He would like to see us accomplish. That grace that flows into our life, and of course, His just overwhelming love for us is part of the grace. But here's what it says. It's that grace that has appeared that teaches us to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lusts, that we might live soberly, that we might live righteously. Grace is doing this. It's teaching us to live righteously. It's teaching us to live godly in this present age. So we need to be strong in grace. Be strong in grace. You know, whenever the Spirit of God brings correction, you know, it points out a mistake, it points us in a direction that we have been falling short in, oh, you should be glad. Because it's His grace. It's God's grace working to make your life better. So when that correction comes, when you recognize you're in the wrong area of life, where you need to make a correction, it's God's grace. We need to be strong in that grace. And part of that, I believe, is spending more time in prayer. And when you do, be sure that you're spending that time with an ear to hear, that you should expect to hear from God. He speaks to you. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, He speaks to us, so go with a listening ear. And then also, flow in grace towards others. Flow in grace towards others. We need to be strong in grace. We need to be strong when it comes to others. I like what Pastor Ben said. I wish I could quote exactly how he put it, about how we all are in favor of grace for ourselves. Yeah. Well, I'm asking for grace. You know, have grace towards me. You know, I come, oh, see, I come straight from work. I don't have time to go home and change and get all freshened up and good smelling. I've been on a construction site all day and I kind of look like it. Well, you know, sometimes in my job, I'm working in a doctor's office or something, and that doesn't look too bad. But today I was at a construction site with a new building, and I look like it. So have grace. You know, if it helps, just consider what I normally look like on Sunday morning. Then I've had time to prepare and look good. So just extend grace to others. Be strong in grace to hone your spiritual edge. Let's move on to number two. Endure hardship. By that, I mean, get tough. Get tough. 2 Timothy 2:3. Remember, we're going to look at a lot here in 2 Timothy. It says, "You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We need to get tougher. I mean, society as a whole, but certainly Christians need to get tougher. We need to toughen up some. Tests and trials are going to come in this life. Bank on it. When they do come, don't falter. Don't quit. Hold tough. See, when the enemy puts pressure on you, the obvious response is to just back off a little bit. But I say, no, no. Get more aggressive. Get more aggressive with your faith. And by that, I mean do more in your faith, not less. Unfortunately, oftentimes when things get tough, a lot of people just kind of back off. Or they get caught up in their own depression. They get hung up on their bad feelings, and they just can't seem to bring themselves to do the things necessary to overcome. I'm saying we need to get tough. Don't allow the devil to just kick you around and you take it. Get tough. Refuse to allow the devil to talk you out of God's word, believing his word, or out of believing the promise that he has placed in your heart. Man, so many people, when the going gets tough, they just fall apart like a $2 suitcase. We need to be strong. We need to toughen up a little bit. And because hard times will come. I wish I could speak to all of your situations and encourage you. I wish I could, you know, just say, man, when things are so bad at your job, get tough and rely on Jesus. Turn more to him. Spend more time in prayer over that job situation. Spend more time in prayer over your marriage situation. That child that you've really been struggling with. Spend more time in prayer. Don't give up. Get tough. Don't give in. Don't just say, we don't know what to do. It's useless. We have to get tough. Number three. Don't get involved with worldly affairs. This is the next verse, 2 Timothy 2:4. It says this, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." I tell you, we've all been called to live the high life with Jesus. I mean, high above the problems and the troubles of this world, high above the filth and the disgusting parts of this world. We've been called to a higher place, not to wallow in the muck and the mire of the world that we live in. Don't get involved in worldly affairs. Simplify your life. Simplify your life. See, if you don't have time for God, you need to make time. It is amazing how often people say, I just don't have time. I don't have time to spend reading my Bible every day all that much. We need to make time. If you want to hone your spiritual edge, if you're willing to go around as a dull Christian, using the edge there, if you're willing to be dull, well, then I guess it doesn't matter. You can hang out and do worldly things and spend your time in other pursuits. It's not that big a deal. But if you want to hone your spiritual edge, if you want to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing, if you want to be in the forefront of what God desires for your life, you've got to do some work here. You've got to simplify your life. Don't let, this is a tough word because I know some people feel like they're trapped and they're caught in a place, but don't let your career take you away from God. You know when it says don't get involved in worldly affairs? Sometimes your career is a worldly affair. Don't let your entertainment choices drag you through the mud. And now can I pause for a moment and get on my soapbox about the Super Bowl halftime? See, I don't have to say much. You already know. I had already determined, I saw who was going to be doing the halftime show for the Super Bowl, and we watched the Super Bowl, didn't we, Sarah?
Yes, we did.
We watched the Super Bowl, but I knew just because I had heard who was going to be on the halftime stage, that was not something for me to watch. And so when the halftime show came on, I went up, went into the other room, messed around in the kitchen, played with some food, did other things because, and then I thought maybe it had already been done, and I walked back in and I sat down. I was like, oh no, time to go back and do something else. It's just, you know, you make your own entertainment choices. I'm telling you, don't get involved in worldly affairs. Don't let your hobbies take you away from God. Don't let your family or really anything else take you away from God. Take away the time that you need to be in the presence of God. Here's something you should do. Ask yourself before you take on any new endeavor, can I afford it? And I don't mean financially, I mean spiritually. Can I afford it? If you're like Pastor Ben, or like me in some regards, you get a new thing, and it's like you're just consumed. You go for it. You're not just kind of dabbling around the edges. You say, I'm all in. I'm going to do this thing. Make sure that it doesn't get in the way of the time you need to spend with God. Can you afford it? Can you give your time to that new thing and still keep your priority time with God? You know that? Well, I'm going to sound too judgmental. I just have to move on. Just have to move on. And you may have to move on too in some areas. You may have to reprioritize. See, you may forget about the importance of your God time. But the devil never does. You might not consider it all that big a deal when you miss that time. But the devil does. In fact, he thinks it's so important that he's going to put everything he can in your way, little time stealers in your life, so that you don't have that time with God. Be on guard and don't get involved in all of those other things. Number four, 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Hallelujah. I know that just seems so, yeah, we know that. No, consistently keep in mind that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is alive. He is alive. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is there making intercession for you. He has never left you. He will never forsake you. His presence is with you. His spirit lives in you. He is alive. We're not just serving the cherished memory of a holy martyr. And I'm, you know, again, this sounds so basic, but I'm telling you, some people need to be reminded, Jesus is alive. He is alive. When the devil starts to tell you that you're defeated, turn the tables on him. Remind him that he's the one that's defeated because Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. And you need to continually remind yourself that all of the power that the devil had couldn't keep Jesus in the ground. All of that power is at work in you right now because he's alive. Jesus is alive. You have purpose. You have meaning in your life. You have someone to look to. You have someone who will help you. He is alive. Sometimes I believe we live our lives as though he was not there. All right, enough on that one. Number five, or I'll just keep on going. Number five, 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know how to correctly handle the word. And how do we do that? Again, back to the basics. If you've noticed, a lot of what I'm sharing with you tonight is the stuff that we talk about all the time, the things that we need to keep doing as Christians. If you want to hone your spiritual edge, you need to be in the Word. Never quit studying God's Word. You know, when you stop growing in spiritual revelation, you actually begin to lose what you've already received. You might think you've already stored up a great deal of understanding and knowledge. You've spent years and years reading through the Bible, and now you can slack off because you know what it says. I mean, you've read it two or three times. But I tell you what, if you stop, you will lose even what you have. There's something in that spiritual nature of the Word of God. You will lose it. And some people, they're just on spiritual roller coasters. You know, one day they're up and the next day they're down. But continually studying the Word of God is going to keep you up. It's going to fill those voids. It's going to help you avoid that valley of discouragement because within that Word there is life. There is life. There is hope. The Word is going to keep you steady. It's going to help you be consistent in your walk because it's going to consistently feed you and your faith. It's going to keep you strong. It's going to keep you sharp. I will testify myself. If I ever get a little bit lazy and I'm not really spending time in the Word, or I just get, you know, one of the things you have to watch out for, when you just read a lot of the Scriptures, there are times, even this morning, I can remember, I'm just reading through the passage, my mind starts to wander, I get halfway through, and I'm just like, what did I just read? I went through half a chapter, and I had to go back because I wasn't really paying attention. Be careful. Spend time in the Word. That's what's going to help you stay strong and sharp. Only sharp if you spend that time in it. Number six, 2 Timothy 2:16. It says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. What does that mean? Vain and idle, profane and idle babblings. That profane and idle babblings are useless babblings, empty, vain. In other words, don't get into arguments with other believers over stupid stuff. Don't, I mean, there's a wide variety of opinion, and there's a wide variety of understanding, and we all have our own little parts. Don't get into arguments over stupid stuff. In fact, don't get into arguments over doctrine. I mean, there is doctrine that we need to discuss, and if we have differences of opinion, we can discuss that, but we don't need to argue over it. We don't need to get into fights. Instead, let us fellowship over the fact that Christ was raised from the dead and is Lord of the universe. If we can agree on that, we got a whole lot we can have fun with. Amen? In my early days of Christian walk, there used to be, there might still be, but I don't listen to them anymore. There used to be the shows on the radio that I would listen to of folks that you would call heresy hunters. Those people who were always finding something that some pastor, preacher, teacher said that was off, and then they should be condemned and they should be cast out. And you know, when you listen to all of that, it taints your mind. It becomes really profane and idle babbling. You start talking about stupid stuff. Avoid such arguments, because in reality, it actually undermines faith. It will destroy your own faith. You want to stay strong in the Lord. You want to be honing your spiritual edge. Don't get involved in all the little controversies of the day. You know, people get into big fights about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, not everybody believes the way we believe. In fact, in thinking about this, I remember we went and visited a church many years ago, a local church. I won't even tell you. But there was this church that we went to visit. We were going to check out this church, my family and I, Sarah and the boys. And we went to this church, and as we went in, there were some nice people that greeted us. And Sarah found a seat, and they were all settled. And I asked, because these guys, there were like three or four guys that were talking to me, because, you know, we're new people, and they just, whew. So they were talking to me, and of course, we're checking out this church. And one of the things I asked was, do you guys believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And well, no, they did not. Like, okay. But they weren't willing to let that go. And they got into an argument. And Sarah was actually in the sanctuary, and we're outside of the sanctuary. These guys weren't going to let me go. They were going to convince me that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was wrong. And there was an argument that ensued, but I wasn't arguing. Sarah was embarrassed because she could hear people out in the back, you know, voices raised. And it's like, guys, it's all right. You know, I'm willing to come. I understand you don't believe what I, and of course, that wasn't going to be the church for us. But they just would not let it go. It's not that big a deal to argue at that point. And if we had a nice conversation, that'd be a different story. But so don't get involved in those kind of controversies. You know, baptism. I mean, water baptism. Scripturally, there's a right way to do it. But I don't fight with people over how they got baptized, or that just doesn't make that much of a difference. I'll teach them what I know. I'll help them understand what the Bible says. But I'm not going to kick them out or be mad at them if they don't believe exactly what I believe. Or, you know, for healing or anything else. Don't get bogged down in all of the profane and idle babblings. Like I say, it'll just tear down your own faith. So, moving on. 2 Timothy 2:22. Paul had a lot of good advice for Timothy, don't you think? It's like he was trying to show him something here. 22, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And the key there is with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Number 7 is fellowship with the faithful. If you want to hone your spiritual edge, fellowship with the faithful. To live in victory, you need to fellowship with people who know God. You need to fellowship with people who know what victory is. I mean, the right kind of victory. I mean, think your way through this to the obvious. You can't expect to fellowship with the world and live like an overcomer. It won't work. It just doesn't work. We get strength from one another. We're part of the family. God has given us to each and every one of us. So, I mean, we are to get strength from one another. You can also get weaker from others. If you want to get stronger in the Lord, find someone who is stronger in the Lord than you. And they're out there. Find someone who's stronger in the Lord with you and then begin to fellowship with them. Begin to hang out with those kind of folks. And I tell you what, you'll get stronger in the Lord. They will help you. Just being around people who know God and who are living for Him will help you. And I tell you, your very life depends on who you fellowship with. Who you fellowship with is vitally important. I'm talking about honing your spiritual edge. You want to hang out with some sharp people. I mean, spiritually sharp people. And they'll sharpen you. Number 8. This time it's in 2 Timothy 3:14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Continue on. What's that? And continue in what you've learned. Continue in what you've learned. You know, the only way that the devil can defeat you is to convince you to quit. If he can convince you to quit, and he's got all kinds of tricks in his bag, discouragement is one of the greatest. If he can get you discouraged enough that you just want to quit, then he'll win. When the devil comes to try and knock you down, don't let him. Don't let him. How do you not let him? Well, you continue to do the things that you know to do. You continue to do what you were taught. You continue to do all the things that you've learned. You continue to trust in Jesus. You continue to go to Him in prayer. You continue to rely on Him instead of yourself. Do the things that you have learned, the things that you know. All you have to do to lose your grip on the power of God is to get lazy concerning all of these spiritual things that we've talked about. And again, that's why now that we're into February, I wanted to, again, encourage you, prod you a little bit, poke you some to say, look, it ain't over. We're just in the beginning of the year. And some of us are already slipping from what we began with at the beginning. So let's perk up a little. Let's, you know, shake ourselves up a little bit, because it's easy to get lazy. It's easy to get lethargic. It's easy to get complacent, and we don't want to do that. It's only February. You've got 11 more months to go. Hallelujah. To lose that edge, you don't really have to do anything all that dramatic. You don't have to create, you know, a terrible situation in your home. You don't have to fall into some deep sin. To lose that spiritual edge, just do nothing. Just do nothing. And it'll just fade away. We need to beware of taking it easy in the days ahead. I think we've got some interesting days on our horizon. I think the church is going to be a very vital part of what's going to take place in this country. And I want to be ready for it. I want to be useful in the kingdom of God. I want to be somebody that others can come to and say, what should I do? because I've seen you. How do I get there? It's not going to happen if I get lazy. I'm not going to be much help to anybody, much less my own family, myself, if I get spiritually lazy. Beware of taking it easy. Now, I believe, is the time to step up our efforts. Now is the time for us to rise to a new and greater level. And you can. You know, I'm not just throwing out little flowery phrases, pie in the sky kind of stuff. You can take another step into a new level. You just have to want it. You just have to be willing to make some sacrifice. Because, yeah, there is a sacrifice. Some. You just have to be willing to make it. To take that step. To hone that spiritual edge. Now is the time. Now is the time to renew your level of commitment. Oh yeah, commitment. That's a tough word sometimes too. Renew your level of commitment to the Word and to the body. But how are you doing in 2020? Is it going well? Are you feeling stronger? Are you getting stronger? Is it creating hope? You know, that's one of the greatest effects of you truly spending time on your spiritual life, is you begin to see new horizons. You begin to see new dreams. You begin to have visions of what God can do and accomplish. Don't let it slip by. Go for it. And keep going for it. Keep on task. You're going to get there. We're going to help you. By the way, did I mention small groups? A lot of the stuff we're talking about here fits into that small group. Fellowship with folks. If you haven't signed up for a small group, this just came to my mind. If you haven't signed up for a small group, we can still put you in one. We've still got room for you. So just come and talk to me. We've got small groups are already set up. We've assigned people to certain areas. So you will be hearing, if you did sign up, you haven't heard anything yet, you will be hearing from your small group leader very shortly of where you're going to meet and what the time is and all of that. So watch out for that if you haven't heard yet. Otherwise, let's keep honing our spiritual edge. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your time. I mean, the time that you've extended to us, the time that we've had here tonight, and the time that you have in our lives, we thank you for it because we value that time. We value when we can gather together as believers, as a group, and we value when we can be in the presence of your Spirit on our own, in our own prayer closet. Anytime that we take that moment to put our mind and our heart on you and on your Word and on the things that you are revealing to us. So, Lord, I want more than anything else for the people here to be encouraged and to be inspired to continue on for this year and for the years to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. If you need prayer, then let me offer an opportunity for you to pray with us.
His name, another same, your gospel.